I'm Karen Given, in for Bill Littlefield. Ahead on Only a Game, a groggy USA boxing program grabs the smelling salts and looks ahead to Rio. But first, on Wednesday night, David Rashida of Kenya smashed his own world record in the 800 meters, igniting the crowd in London's Olympic Stadium. Other than Rashida, Kenyan runners haven't fared as well as expected in these games, but the Olympics always saves the men's marathon for the last day. And I wouldn't be the least surprised to see a Kenyan or two or three in contention, if not in the lead. Adarin Anfin examines that phenomenon in his book, Running with the Kenyans, and he joins me from the BBC in London. Adarin Anfin, welcome to Only a Game.
Hello, thank you.
Let's start with that prediction I just made. I think it's a good one, but you tell me, how dominant have the Kenyans been over the past two decades?
Well, funnily enough, the dominance in the marathon's fairly recent. In the last Olympics in Beijing was the first time they'd won the Olympic marathon. Years ago, they were dominant in the long distance and middle distance on the track. It's only in the last 10 or 15 years they've really fully graduated onto the roads, and they've done it in huge numbers. And so last year, the top 25 marathon runners in the whole world in the men's event were all from Kenya. Now, there is a little anomaly there. The Boston Marathon last year, which doesn't make it onto the official lists, has had a very fast American running. Ryan Hall ran 2:04, but he doesn't make it onto the list. But even at that race, the first two were both Kenyan, and they actually both ran what would have been world records if the course had been valid. So the Kenyan dominance in marathon particularly has been quite incredible, particularly in the last year or so.
You open your book with a you-know-you're-in-Kenya-win moment. You're waiting for the start of the Lua Marathon, and there's a delay as helicopters try to chase lions off the course. How is it that you, a father of three in his mid-30s, found yourself in that predicament?
It's interesting, that predicament, because that's actually a very unusual predicament in Kenya. Most of the area where the athletes live and train, there are no lions. But my whole adventure to Kenya began with this idea to go and run this marathon, and it just grew from that. So yeah, it's an unusual predicament to be running with the lions, but it does happen, and luckily I live to tell the tale.
Well, to prepare for that marathon, you moved yourself and your family to Iten, a town of roughly 4,000 residents and an ever-growing number of athletes. Many foreign runners and journalists come to Iten every year to learn the secrets of Kenyan runners. I was there in 2006. Tell us about the contrast between the poverty of the region and the hopefulness that running brings.
Poverty is not like terrible there. People live very, very humble lives. Nobody's got a car, and the children do run. Not everyone, you know, some of the kids are walking, but lots and lots of kids running to school and back every day. You know, as they grow up, their life options are very limited. I mean, most of the people living there in that area are subsistence farmers. And then dotted amongst these, in every single village almost in this Rift Valley area around this town of Iten, there is a guy with a big car, a big house, and he's the guy who's been out running, and he's been off, you know, to the US or to Europe, run big races, has come back. Even the least successful of them will come back with $4,000 or $5,000, which is enough in Kenya in relation to where they've come from to make them big stars and big important people in their communities as well. I mean, they become like the chiefs of their village. Everybody comes to them with their personal problems. And so you'll get these people who have got nothing, and their son says, I want to be an athlete, and they'll support him. He'll sit at home. He won't work on the farm. He'll go running in the morning. Then he'll come home. He'll sleep. And they'll be going, great, this is just, you know, this is our big chance. We have a son who can run, and or a daughter even more now. There was a time when the daughters were not really encouraged to do this, but in the last 10 years, Kenya realized that the women get paid to run races too. And so suddenly the women's, Kenyan women are dominating just as much as the men.
Kenyan runners are also often shy, as you discovered when you tried to interview Mary Kitaney, two-time winner of the London Marathon. They almost all start off barefoot, but eventually wear shoes. And it almost seems to me like there's sort of a cultural lack of self-confidence, which inspires them to train so hard, but then it completely disappears when they step up to the starting line. Have I got that about right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, this is partly to do with the very humble backgrounds they come from. And, you know, the world beyond their little area is so unknown to them, and it's so fascinating, and it's brilliant to see them off traveling. They, you know, they're so wide-eyed with wonder, but they step onto that starting line and they seem to grow. You don't even know who he is, you don't know how good he is, but just there's a Kenyan there and you're like, oh God, you know, I'm in trouble.
You also visit with Brother Colum O'Connell, an Irish missionary who's trained many of Kenya's best runners at St. Patrick's School in E10. Years ago, the school started planting a tree for every athlete who made it to big-time international running. And Brother Colum took me on a walk through the garden. I want to play a little bit of that tape.
The athletes kept coming. The success kept coming. So we had to keep planting more and more trees. And eventually, we're going to end up with a forest here in our... right in our front garden.
So now you're planting bushes.
We're down to shrubs now. I don't know, maybe there'll be flowers next. If they get any more crowded.
So that was 6 years ago, and the garden was pretty overgrown. What does it look like now?
Well, I think they've had to put some tougher criteria on the tree planting here. I think now it's only world champions and Olympic champions who get a tree in an attempt to keep it down. So it's not too overgrown, but there are some amazing names there. I met very few athletes in my time in Iten who hadn't spent at some part of their time at St. Patrick's, maybe not actually attending the school, but definitely, you know, going there in the summer, going there in the Easter, and training with Brother Colum. And he's hugely influential person out there.
Brother Colum gets pretty grumpy when people ask him for the secret to Kenya's success at running. While you were in Kenya, you kept a notebook with an entire header for secrets. How long did the list get?
It got long. Yeah, he's very grumpy about that. I mean, I wasn't even asked. I could tell he wouldn't want me to ask that, so I wasn't even mentioning secrets, and he got grumpy about it even still. Is this whole mishmash of reasons and factors that have come together that make them great, and it's no one thing. There's no one thing you can say, God, if we did that, then we'd be as good as they are. There's been a study ongoing for 10 years to find the genetic distinction between East Africans and everybody else when it comes to running, and there have been scientists working on this. And I spoke to the guy who's been leading that project, and he said in 10 years of studying and researching, they haven't found anything.
Running with the Kenyans for 6 months made you a better runner, but with more and more countries trying to copy the methods and training used by the runners in E10, can Kenya expect to maintain its dominance over middle and long distance running?
Well, that's an interesting question, because we just had Mo Farah, the British runner, win the Olympic 10,000 meters, and his transformation into the best long distance runner on the planet definitely began with studying the Kenyans. He spent time with the Kenyans first of all in London and then in Iten, and was very impressed by the way they trained and took a lot of their attitudes and approaches on board. So there's no reason why other athletes can't challenge the Kenyans. Now within that you can have runners who mimic the Kenyan approach, but in terms of having the numbers of runners that Kenya do, it's unlikely in my view that they will be challenged on a grand scale.
Adarin N. Finn's book, Running with the Kenyans, is published by Ballantine Books. He joined me from London. Thanks so much.
Okay, thank you so much.